Let's take a minute, let's bow our heads, and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for the wonderful family that you've adopted us into, your family. And Lord, there's no greater joy than being your children. Lord, I thank you for this local church that you have planted, and you've given me the privilege to be a part of this fellowship. And I thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters here. I pray you bless them, that you by your Spirit would encourage their hearts and strengthen them. God, you know what each one of us are going through. You know who here is depressed, who is discouraged, who is hurting because of something that recently has happened to them. Lord, you know those who are waiting on you for a very specific answer for something that's going on in their life and it's out of their control, and they're here looking to hear from you today. Lord, whatever the case is, I ask that you by your Holy Spirit would minister to everyone's needs here. Lord, you are our Father, and you are so good to us. And Lord, at times, we don't understand why we go through the things we go through. At times, we wonder if anything good can come out of the circumstances we're in. And Lord, in these times, we look to you, our loving Father. We look to your Word. And we thank you that you've given us your Word that reminds us of who we are in your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I pray that you would speak a very specific word to each heart here. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd give us a greater understanding of your love, of your grace, of your peace, and of your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are going to be starting a new book, and I'm excited. We are going to start studying the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. So you can go ahead and turn there now. And I've titled this morning's message, Our True Identity. Our true identity is really found in Christ. If I was to give this book a theme, I would just simply call it Who We Are in Christ. Paul does a great job teaching us who we are in Christ, what our true identity in Jesus is. Well, Holman, who is a commentator, and he wrote this, and he shares in this his writing a funny, cute story, and I thought I'd share it with all of you. He titled it, The Duck That Thought It Was a Dog. He says, and I quote, scientists know that ducks tend to imprint soon after birth. To imprint means that they attach themselves to the first thing they see after they hatch, thinking that they are that thing. This is supposed to work for the duck, since when they hatch, the first thing they normally see is a mama duck. This phenomenon backfires occasionally, he says. Once, for example, a duckling was hatched under the watchful eye of a motherly collie dog. The baby duck took one look at the collie and decided that the dog was its mother. It followed the collie around, ran to it for protection, and slept with it at night. It spent the hot part of the day under the front porch with the collie. And when a car pulled into the driveway, along with the dog, the duck would run out from under the front porch, quacking viciously, trying to peck the tires. Some things could not be changed, however. The duck still quacked, enjoyed the water, and flapped its wings. Sometimes it acted like a duck, and sometimes it acted like a dog. Christians often experience a similar confusion in identity, he says. We have been born into and grown up in a fallen world, and so we have learned the ways of the world. We have become like it. When we become a Christian, we are in Christ. We die to the world and are born again so that spiritually we are no longer who we once were. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, too often, however, we don't see ourselves correctly. We act like the things we think we are rather than what we really are. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, he helps us to understand who we are in Christ. Now this morning I want to share with you four things that God has done for us that helps us to understand who we are in Christ. The first of the four is what God has planned for us in Christ. The second thing is what God has done for us. The third thing is what God has revealed to us. And lastly, what God has given to us. And so now, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much that could be said in just these two verses. And I want to take a few minutes just to bring more color, if you would, to some of these words that Paul uses. Paul introduces himself as an apostle. And he says that he is an apostle by the will of God. You know, apostle is someone who is sent. Apostle is someone who was sent by Jesus Christ into missionary work and was given the ability to perform miracles which would validate the message of Jesus Christ through the apostles. Paul was an apostle, and he tells us that he was an apostle by the will of God. And I want to just camp out here for a few minutes because here he introduces himself and he introduces his position. And he tells us that his position was something that was given to him by the will of God. And on a little note, I just want to share, I know that some of us here sense a calling in our lives. All of us are called. Without fail, we have three callings. You've been called to God, to fellowship with God, to know Him, to experience Him in your everyday life. And He's called you because He loves you. His thoughts towards you are very, very good. God doesn't think evil about you. He loves you very much. He called you to Himself because He loves you. But God also has called you to His church. He's called you to be an active part serving in His house, ministering to one another. And what that looks like specifically to each one of us will be different. Paul was called to be an apostle. What is your calling? Do you know what your calling is? You might have the gift of service. And that is your calling. And you know, there's nothing greater than being content in what God has called you to do. You may have many gifts and talents, but there's that one primary thing that God has called you to do, to serve, to teach. Maybe you're gifted with your hands, and it's a calling, it's a work, and you feel compelled by the Spirit of God to use those gifts for His glory. He's called you to Himself, He's called you to His body, but He's also called you to the world, that your life would be a demonstration of His mighty power working in you, maybe a reflection of Christ to the world, so that through your life He can use you to be somewhat of an attraction, a witness, attracting others who were like you once in the world, walking in the course of this life, really not knowing what your purpose was until you found Christ, or rather, until Christ found you, and then you realized why, what your purpose is. You felt and you came to realize that you're home now in God. He called you out of this world. Do you remember that day? Or do you remember that period where God was drawing you? And now it's as if a light turned on inside of you. And you know Him. You're walking with Him. And that void is gone. That sense of why am I here is gone. Well, there are people that are battling with that same thing. And God has called us to be a light and to be witnesses to them. He's called us. He's called us, and it's all by His will. You know, there's position. Again, Paul, he mentions his position, an apostle. Now, I know that some of you, that's our general calling, but some of you sense that you have a specific calling in your life. And that calling, I believe, that specific calling, perhaps it's some leadership role in the church of God. Know that when it's God's timing, because it's His will, He will bring it all to pass. Now, for some of you, this doesn't apply because you don't really sense that in your heart. But there might be a few of you here, and I don't want to fail to mention it because you have that calling. You have that sense that there's more. There's more. God has more. But you don't know how to put it together. That's the thing. You don't have to try to figure it out and make it happen. That's God's business. And in His timing, because it's His will, He knows how to get you from where you are to where you sense or you feel in your spirit you are to be someday. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to be in a hurry for it to happen. Just wait on the Lord. Remember that it's His will, it's His plan, it's His purpose, and it's His timing. But each one of us, we could put our name in there and say, for me, David, a pastor, teacher, by the will of God. For you now, it could be, and if your name is Joe, I don't even see you. I just see heads, and maybe now I'm starting to see some. But Joe, if you're here, I'm not talking to you. But I'm using this as an example. Joe, a physician's assistant by the will of God. Jane, a wife and a mom by the will of God. Whatever we do, we can do it for the glory of God because of the will of God. Wouldn't it be great if we all started to think, I'm where I am by the will of God? I wonder what kind of difference that would make in our lives. If we started to think about all the different things that we identify ourselves with, and we would start to think, I am a husband by the will of God. I'm a father by the will of God. I'm a pastor, a teacher by the will of God. You put your name in there and you put those details of who you are. And then say, by the will of God. How could that change your attitude? How can it change your witness? How could it change your fruitfulness? Maybe you could even jot that down in your mind. I am, fill in the blank, by the will of God. What are you by the will of God? I can tell you one thing you are. If you are in Christ, you are a saint by the will of God. You know, in this book and in every chapter, you will find the word saint 9 times. I challenge you, look for yourself. And if I'm wrong, come and tell me. I could be wrong. But you are a saint. Paul, he addresses to the saints. You know what saints mean? The word saint is those who are set apart. And you are set apart by the will of God. You are set apart for what purpose? For God's purposes. You are set apart for God. That is, the day that you made a commitment to Christ, you were translated out of this world of darkness into the marvelous light, into the marvelous family of God. And you have been set apart. God set you apart for His purposes, to live for Him, to enjoy Him, to serve Him. But even more so, for Him to live through you, to minister to your heart and to your mind, to your spirit, to build you up, to influence you in such a way that your life would change and you would be a living testimony for God without you having to really work and perform in order to make this happen. That it was God's choice to save you, and He drew you, and you responded, and He took residency inside of you, and He influences you. And you are a saint. Now, I know that there are times you don't feel like a saint, but the fact of the matter is, if you are in Christ, your true identity is you are a saint. You are a saint now. And so, when we're out in the lobby, and I walk out, I want you to say, good morning, Saint David. And I could say to you, good morning. There's so many names here, I'll be here all day. Good morning, Saint Karen. Good morning, Saint Hannah and Saint Adam. I know you're over there. Saint David and Saint David and Saint David. David's such a popular name. Saint Gabriella. We're saints. Either you are a saint or you are an ain't. And if you ain't a saint, then today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait. You just turn to Christ and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I recognize I'm a sinner. and you are the only Savior. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father except through me. You turn to Christ, and you will inherit a new identity. I don't know what your name is, but you will be saint and put your name in there. It really is not that difficult if you trust Christ with your whole heart. Saint. He addresses the saints in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That is, those who are believers. Believers in Christ. That's how you become a saint, by believing in Christ. Now, some of us may have heard that saints are those who, after they die, at some point, those on the earth determine, based on their works, what they have done. After a period of deliberation, they determine that they are saints and give them saint status. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. You will not find that anywhere in the Bible. Again, what the Bible does teach is that believers in Christ are saints. Well, what a great time we've had this morning. We'll pick up next week and we'll talk about those four things. But I think suffice it to say for today, if you are in Christ, you are a saint and you can go home being encouraged in the fact that you are a saint. That is a part of your identity in Christ. Sometimes we focus too much on what we are by nature. And by nature, we're sinners and we're fallen. But when we come to Christ, our identity is very different. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. I know how much we love homework. But this is the kind of homework that most of you already do, and if you don't, I encourage the few of you who don't to start doing. This is the homework. Read chapter 1 today. Sometime today. How many hours do you have left? You have plenty of hours. Read chapter 1 today. And if you have read it already, read it again. And try to pick out of chapter 1 how Paul identifies you who are in Christ. Write a list down. And maybe you might be able to say something like, I was lost, but in Christ I've been chosen. Or you figure out how you want to manage that. The thing is just try to find the things that identify who you are in Christ. And by faith, begin to walk in it. Accept it. Begin to accept who you are in Christ. And then every day, read a chapter. So today you start with chapter 1, tomorrow chapter 2. Read through the 6 chapters. What you'll find is the first half of the book, chapters 1, 2, and 3, really talk about what God has done for us. See if you can identify all the things that God has done for us. And then chapters 4 and 5 talk about primarily as a response to what God has done for us, how we ought to respond by our lifestyle. And then chapter 6 talks about how we can overcome the adversary's tactics to try to discourage us from believing our true identity in Christ. It helps us to live in victory, knowing that we are in a spiritual battle. So you have your homework, saints. And now we'll pray, the closing song will take place. And then after, I just want to see all of you saints greeting one another in the lobby over some coffee and addressing each other as St. Mary and St. James and St. John. And Father, we thank you so much for your word and your love and your kindness and your truth. And Lord, we thank you that a part of our identity is that we have been set apart for your purposes. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a greater understanding of what that is and a greater sense of passion to fulfill that calling. And Lord, as we close the service with this final song, Lord, I pray that it would not just end here, that our service to you and our adoration for you and our desire to be set apart for your purposes would be such a priority that it would take precedence over every day of this week. And Lord, we pray that as we sing this song from our hearts, your heart would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.